Good morning, everyone. We've been going through a series in Proverbs called Streetwise and looking at different aspects of God's wisdom. And this morning we want to look at the whole subject of friendship, wisdom in friendships, and how we build friendships with God and with others. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your word again this morning. And as we gather around your word, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 17, please. And just to say, as we go through the series on wisdom, it'd be good just to ask God to give you wisdom during this time. Hopefully it won't lift after the series. But if you need wisdom in any area of your life, just plug in and say, Lord, give us wisdom with our kids. Give us wisdom with our finances. Give us wisdom in relationships. And I've just been praying that myself over the last few weeks and just found God's been giving me wisdom in various areas. It's just been wonderful. So it's not just a series we do on Sunday, but let's ask God to help us during the week just with his wisdom. And so we're going to look at friendship this morning. And in Proverbs 17, just a few scriptures, it says a lot about friendship, but Proverbs 17 verse 7, 17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And then in Proverbs 18 verse 24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay. And so we want to just look at this whole subject of friendship. And so it's an important subject, friendships, because there are lots of lonely people today. There are lots of people in the church and even outside the church as well that are lonely, and people need relationships and friendships. It's why things like Facebook and social media and increasingly dating sites. I've just discovered lately that more and more people are finding partners on dating sites. And sometimes it's working. So it's been a new thing for me to discover. And so it's not always a Russian bride. Sometimes it's someone local. But more and more people are going online to find marriage partners and the whole social media. And so the whole subject of relationships is a key. It's a key subject for us as well. The relationships we already have with Christians, other Christians, but also relationships with non-Christians as well. And friends, that's why we're doing hospitality in this church. We've really felt it's something we want to do better and better. We want to offer hospitality, offer lunches, open our homes, so that people that are looking for relationship, looking for friendship, looking to find God, will find it not just in our meetings, but also in our homes as well. And Proverbs has a lot to say about friendship. A lot to say about friendship with God and friendship with others as well. How to make friends and who to avoid. And so I wanted to speak into that a bit this morning as well. I want us to look at this morning, what is friendship and how do we do friendships? How should we do friendships? And I hope this really helps you this morning. The dictionary says a friend is a person you know well and love and trust. It's someone you know well, you have affection for, love for, and you also trust as well. So let's talk first of all just about friendship with God. If we can do that. We can just put the points up. Firstly, friendship with God. You might not have thought about Christianity like this, but the purpose of becoming a Christian is really to become a friend of God. It's to become God's friend. And God is our friend as well. He's also our Lord and our King, but he's also our friend. And so the purpose of the gospel is not just to get saved and go to church and wait to go to heaven, but it's to bring us into fellowship and friendship with God. It's incredible. And it's really a result of the grace of God, that God brings us into friendship with himself. So in John chapter 15, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And in Jesus' day, what they would do, people would look for important rabbis or teachers, and they would go to them and they would say, can we follow you? Can we learn from you? Can you be our master teacher? And he would interview them, and they would be part of his disciples. And but with Jesus, it's different. With Jesus, we don't go to him and ask him to help us. He comes to us and he chooses us. And he finds us. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Now, when we read these verses, we might want to change the order of these verses. We might want to say, as they preach in many churches today, I follow Jesus, I hear His voice, and He gives me eternal life. But that is not correct. That's not correct. You see, it starts with the call of God. It starts with God choosing us. Hallelujah. You didn't one day decide to follow Jesus. Jesus one day got hold of you. Jesus got hold of you. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. And if we just think about that for a moment, it's a profound statement. And once you begin to understand that, all your theology, all your understanding has to come behind that. You realize actually it began with God. God called me into friendship. Because you see, friends, it's always like that with true friendship. You can't choose your parents. You can't choose your colleagues. But you always choose your close friends, don't you? And that's exactly what God did with us. He chose us to be in friendship with Him. That's what God has done for us. He's chosen us for salvation, for friendship, for fruitfulness. And we've become friends of the King. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a friend of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is a friend of God. What a great job description. I just was bowled over just thinking about this again. Jesus said, I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. He says that in John. And so we share experiences and love. And Jesus takes us into His confidence, and He helps us to know the Father's will. And so this is what we're talking about, friends. We're not just talking about coming to church or obeying the rules. We're really talking about a friendship with God. Abraham was called God's friend. He's called God's friend. He just hung out with God. He spoke to God. He walked with God. God spoke to him. And I'd like you to look at your Christian life like that, that it's really a friendship with God. It's a friendship with God. And Jesus shares His heart with you. And He tells you the Father's secrets. And He leads you down the road. And this friendship also involves obedience. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And so Jesus wants us also to obey Him and to do what He commands. It's not just a friendship where we can do what I like, but He says, you are my disciples if you do what I command. Hallelujah. And that friendship will deepen and grow. And so friends, we relate to God from a point of acceptance and not for acceptance. And it is an unbreakable friendship. It's an unbreakable friendship. Your friendship with God can never be broken. I don't think the church realizes this. Your friendship with God can never be broken. It's the most amazing thing on the planet. You have a friendship with God through Jesus Christ that can never be broken. It's an unbreakable friendship. And if you sin, if you mess up, it'll affect your fellowship with God. It'll affect your closeness with God. But your status as a child of God will never be lost. And so that's why the Bible says in 1 John, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what does it say? We have fellowship with one another. We have friendship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But it's an unbreakable relationship. And that's so important. That's the anchor we have in our Christian lives. That God has called us into a friendship. He's called us into a relationship. And it's unbreakable. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Friends, it's amazing. Am I the only one excited about it this morning? It's absolutely amazing. It's incredible that God has given us this kind of friendship with Him. And I'm just staggered as I get older. And I just say, Lord, why me? Your grace. Lord, you're just amazing that you've brought me into this kind of friendship and relationship. Friends, it's outstanding. It's wonderful that we may become the friends of God. We may be called the friends of God. Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, because slaves don't really know their master's will, but I call you friends. We're friends of God. It's just the most amazing thing. And part of that friendship is that we just keep in step with God. So let's just turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians talks about just keeping in step with God, this friendship. And so it's just being open to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then in verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And so what the Bible is saying there, that as we come into this relationship with God, we just must keep in step with Him. We must walk closely to Him. We must listen for His voice. We must do exactly what He says. We must say what He wants us to say. We must just stay close to Him. Christianity is really just about staying close to God and hearing His voice. And so for the Christian, we're not really under a set of principles. We're not even under the Bible in that sense. We're under Jesus and our friendship with Jesus. The Bible is really the commands of Jesus put in print. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit in print. But our relationship with God is first and foremost a relationship. And that's what God wants. We're not just under a set of Christian principles or a law or a code of conduct, because you don't need relationship for that. It becomes very mechanical. But we're in a friendship with God and we walk with God and we keep a step with God. And we know when we're out of step, don't we? We know when we're out of step with God, and we need to just come alongside and walk in step with God. And if you walk with God consciously in friendship, you will fulfill the Bible unconsciously. As Michael Eaton has told us so often, it will take you higher than the Old Testament law. Because as you walk with God, He deals with your heart and He writes His laws on your heart. And the eyes of our heart begin to open, as Avril read this morning in that 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And friends, it's so powerful and so important that we walk with Jesus. So you might say to me this morning, well, as a Christian, what am I under then? I say to you, you're under Jesus. You're under the leading of Jesus. You have a friendship with Jesus. And friends, that friendship is powerful. He's a powerful friend. He's a friend that'll lead you. He's a friend that'll speak to you. He's a friend that'll make God's word come alive. He's a friend that'll convict you. He's a friend that'll stop you from doing silly things. He will lead you and guide you. And we need to grow in our friendship with God. We need to talk to God. And He'll share His heart with us. And He'll take us deeper and deeper into that friendship as we walk with Him. And so it's firstly about a friendship with God. And if you see in the beginning of Proverbs, as Solomon's writing, he's really writing stuff that he learned from his father David. There was a friendship with his father, and he wrote down the Proverbs. And in the same way, God wants us to walk in wisdom that flows out of our friendship with Him. But secondly, it's not just friendship with God. It's also about friendship with others as well. And so God wants us to be friends with others. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. We want to reach out to others because God has reached us. We want to reach them with the love of God, because God has reached us. And that's not just Christians, but that's non-Christians as well. We want to be able to reach people in the city. Jesus Himself was called a friend of sinners. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Just look at a scripture there with you together. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 18, the Pharisees are comparing John the Baptist to Jesus. And in verse 18, they said, for John came neither eating nor drinking. He was fasting all the time. And they say he has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking. Matthew 11:18. Jesus came eating and drinking. And they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And so Jesus had this ability just to relate to people. He had this ability. People were attracted to him. He had this ability to connect to all kinds of people, not just to Christians. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you have got real non-Christian friends? I won't ask you to put your hands up. But we may find that we don't have too many sometimes. But Jesus had this ability to relate to all kinds of people. To Christians, to those that were His disciples, as it were, to non-Christians, to all sorts of people. He had this tremendous ability to make people feel a part of His circle, to feel welcome, to feel loved. He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And it says he was a glutton and a drunkard. Now just think about that for a moment. Why did they say that? Ask yourself that question. Because Jesus spent time eating and drinking with people. That's what he did. Celebrating the kingdom of God that had come. And people were attracted to him. He wasn't so religious that people were put off, but they were attracted to him. And they came close to him. And they opened their hearts to him. And they were drawn to him. And it's so important, friends, because the Bible also says we're the salt of the earth. And we're the light of the world. And so we need to realize that as we go out into the streets, the workplace, mixed with folk, the saltiness, the things that God has done in our lives, it touches the lives of other people. The salt is meant to get out of the salt shaker and into the meat and into the food to flavor it and preserve it. And that's what we are meant to do. And so I would encourage you to keep doing that. Most of the people that are coming to this church, most of our visitors, are still what we call walk-ins. They drive past the church, they see the big steeple, it's a wonderful steeple, and they come into the church, or they see us on our website. It's true. I often ask people, how did you find out about us? They say, well, we drove past and we saw this church. Or we've just moved in and we saw this church. It's wonderful having such a big steeple. But I would like us increasingly to also invite folk as well. Be aware of what's going on and say, we'd like to invite you, or invite you to a meal. And so years ago when we did the Gospel Revolution, PJ gave us some tips. I'm just going to just run through them quickly about how you can use your existing rhythms of life to get in touch with people. When you go to the gym, make friends with people at the gym. I find most people at the gym like to sit in the sauna. It's too hot for me. But find somewhere in the gym you can talk to someone if you go to the gym. When you fuel up at the garage, get to know the attendants, your hairdresser, invite them to church, or invite them to a meal, coffee shop, school parents. If you're at school activities or sport, get to know the parents, kids' parties, students, connecting and studying with other students. Begin to talk to them. Invite them to church, watching sport, your workplace. Get to know the folk in your workplace. Invite them along as well, and invite them to meals. Just doing the things you normally do. And then to find new rhythms in your life as well. Where you may open your home and invite folk just to come and have a meal with you. Join a book club or a hiking club or something different just to get to know new people as well. Perhaps volunteer to coach at a sports team or at school just so that you get involved in activities. So that you're getting to know folk. Friends, we must do that and grow in this area because thirdly, friendship requires effort. It requires some effort to make friends. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, speaking about friendships. Verse 24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay, and so we need to also, and I'm speaking to myself, we need to also cultivate friendships. Don't wait to become someone's friend. Make yourself a friend. Don't wait to become a friend. Make yourself a friend. If you want friends, be a friend to others. And I'm going to help you how to do that this morning a little bit. You see, there's a difference between being friendly and true friendship. There are lots of friendly people out there, but we're talking about true friendship. And there are different levels of friendship. Jesus ministered to the crowds. He discipled the 120. He gathered the 12. He chose three, Peter, James, and John. And John seemed to get closer to him than any of the other disciples. And so Jesus was friendly to many, but he went deep with a few. And so I ask you this morning, and I ask myself, are we friendly or do we have close friends? Are we just friendly people or do we have close friends? And I think sometimes women are better than this than men, as I look around. Women have an incredible ability, and this is just a commercial for when we preach on women a bit later next month. Women have an incredible ability to go deep with one another quickly. Have you noticed that? So men can spend an hour together and we know who the president is. We know how the local rugby team's doing and we know, what else do we know? We know how the economy's going. I've sometimes been in the surf, sit out there for an hour with guys. I said, just had this great chat with this guy. I met him. He's from England. Shannon says to me, what's his name? I said, I forgot to ask him his name. Shannon can be 10 minutes with someone and she knows about their kids, what they're doing, what they're struggling with. It's just incredible. I mean, I told you before, I've been reading this book by Paul Tournier, and he says, men often live in a world of things and women live in the world of people. I think there's some general truth in that. And so we need to learn from women how to do relationships. Women are generally, they believe more than men. They engage more than men generally. Women have generally better verbal skills than men. They start earlier. But women are also generally more serious than men. Have you noticed that? They can be very serious. You can't tease or joke too much. And you find in the Gospels that it was women who understood Jesus quicker sometimes than the men did. And so we need to learn from women. Ladies, you need to teach us how to do better relationships and better friendships. We need to learn from them. And young guys, you need to learn from the young girls. Just behave yourself when you do that. And in our marriages, we need to learn to do friendships as well. Our marriages need to, husband and wife, we need to be good friends. So ask your spouse, how can I be a better friend to you? How can I be more friendly to you? Because friends, what we're looking for amongst one another, we're looking for the same unbreakable relationships as we have with God. Where we can genuinely overlook one another's mistakes and believe in one another. To be like Jesus who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what we need in our own friendships. Gospel friendships that go beyond race and culture and even natural family, where we're friends before function. It's not just on Sundays for 2 hours and not just for what I can get out of it. And it'll be a tremendous testimony to this nation. See how they love each other. See how friendships break across culture and barriers and language and everything else. Because it's a reflection of our relationship with God. They're non-negotiable relationships. No matter what you do, it will not affect my relationship with you. That's the kind of friendships we need. Hallelujah. Covenant friendships. And we know there are relationships like that in this church, but we need them to grow. Because so many relationships today are based on performance. If you're performing, if you're behaving, if you're producing, our friendship is okay. The moment that tapers off, it affects our friendship. But God's friendship with us is not based on our performance. One of the most scary things about being a Christian is you discover after a while that God loves you when you're doing well and God loves you when you're not doing well. And the grace of God is more serious, it's more scary than the law. Because you say to the Lord sometimes, Lord, I'm doing well right now. You're entitled to love me. Because I'm doing well. But when you're not doing well, Lord, you're not supposed to like me and love me now. And God says, well, we have an unbreakable friendship. We have an unbreakable relationship. And friends, that's what we need these days with one another. Because God measures our relationship with Him by our relationship with others. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, it says the entire law, the entire Bible, this whole book, is summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because you can only really love others if you love God. And so it implies that. So the entire law, Galatians 5:14 is one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible, is summed up, love your neighbor as yourself. And we all need those relationships. Leaders need them as well. David, Solomon's father, he had a group of friends who helped him. If you look at 1 Chronicles 27, he had some guys that helped him. The one guy that helped him was just called the king's friend. That was his job. He was just David's friend. So he just hung out with David and they chatted about stuff. He said, well, what's your portfolio? Are you the minister of what? He says, no, I'm just the king's friend. I'm his mate. I'm his friend. We just talk together. We hang out together. And that's what we need these days, friends. And I would encourage us to look for it. And so thirdly and finally, how do we do this? It's not up there. How do we do this? Just a few points and I'll wrap up. Firstly, begin by being an encourager of others. Not a flatterer, but begin by encouraging other people as well and being a good listener. Don't just do all the talking in the friendship. Don't just do all the talking. It's great to watch people in restaurants sometimes. I sometimes watch young couples out the corner of my eye. Sometimes you can see they've just met and the guy's often doing all the talking and the girl's sitting listening to him. And he's telling her all his life stories and she's listening and smiling. She's amazing. Women are amazing. And you feel like saying sometimes, why don't you just let her talk for a little bit? So relationships are about listening and not just doing all the talking, being an encourager. Someone who comes alongside and just believes in you. It involves appreciation, which is about the present. Saying, you know what, I appreciate you. Can you so, guys, we appreciate the worship you did this morning. We appreciate, Vuyu, we appreciate the work you're doing with the students. It's about the present. And it also involves affirmation, which involves the future. Saying, you can go for it. You can do it. We believe in you. And so good relationships involve present appreciation and future affirmation. I came from an unsaved family. There was no one saved in the family, but we had tremendous truckloads, bucket loads of affirmation in our family. They just went over the top about everything. And so I grew up in a home where there was just tremendous encouragement and affirmation in the family. If I said to them, I've started road running, they said, you'll win the comrades. I said, really? They said, yes. If I said, I'm going to do my exams in matric, they say, you'll do well and you can be anything one day you want to be. That's the home I grew up in. Not just my parents, my extended family were like that. They were all like pathologically optimistic, particularly about the kids, all the time. But I'll tell you, it was a great environment to grow up in. It was fantastic. And so let me encourage you, be an encourager. Believe in one another. Say, go on, God is with you. You can do it. Affirm and appreciate. That's what friendship's all about. It's about being an encourager and looking for opportunities to encourage others. That means you're quite secure yourself. You can look out of yourself and encourage others. Secondly, friends also sometimes sharpen each other and correct each other sometimes. So let's look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, it's a scripture you may know well, says Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And then Proverbs 27, 17, just further on, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And so, if you have a true friendship with someone, sometimes it may lead to some tough things being said because that person loves you and because that person is for you. And so if you have friendships where there are no wounds, you have to ask yourself, is that a real friendship? And even if I get wounded or even if someone says something that I'm struggling with, it doesn't affect our relationship, because our relationship is not up for negotiation. It's a non-negotiable relationship. And you have to get close to people to really be honest to them. And you have to build a relationship. You can't just fire missiles. You have to kind of get close to people. And sometimes you can't do that because people don't let you get close to them. And so sometimes we must learn to say yes to people, to let them close to us. Some of us need to learn to say yes, to please people and to let them get close. Some of us in relationships need to learn to say no, to please God and stop people doing stuff to you or taking advantage of you because you're just too compliant. You just have no boundaries and you let people do and say to you whatever they like. And we need to set boundaries in relationships. Don't be too compliant. People that are compliant and avoidant, they often feel controlled by others. Women sometimes do that and they don't know how to say no. You must learn to sometimes say no in relationships. Don't always say yes, yes, yes. Some people need to learn to say yes. Some people need to learn to say no. And controlling people who don't respect others, they can't hear no. So some people need to say no, some people need to hear no. You need to respect other people and not be aggressive or manipulative in relationships. And in relationships with such people, you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no. So others can't say yes in relationships, and some can't say no in relationships as well. Some can't say no for fear of others. Some can't hear no because they control others. Some can't say yes because you don't believe you need others. But it's how we do relationships, folks. And so we need to ask ourselves, where do you fit? Are you sometimes a people pleaser too much or a God pleaser? Do you find it easier to say no? Or do you find it easier to just say yes? Because it does affect our relationships. It's how we do relationships. And maybe there's some of you who don't say yes or no. You just smile and wave. I don't know. But it's stuff we need to learn in our relationships. Sometimes someone may be pressing in to form a friendship with you and they've asked you for a coffee and you've just said, no, I'm busy. No, it's fine. No, I can't. No, no. You need to say yes. You need to drop what you're doing and say, yes, I'll do that. Others in relationships who feel you've been taking advantage of, you might need to say, no, no, can't do that. You set a boundary. So this is important for us as well. And then finally, in relationships, as I close, if we can just put this diagram up, we need to also be open. Some of you may have seen this before doing sociology, the Johari window. And what that is two American sociologists who got together and they did this diagram about how we can discover things about ourselves. And so, number one are the areas of common knowledge. And that is, everything in this area that's known to me and others. Common knowledge. And so I've expressed myself, I've told people about me, and I've listened to what other people say about me. It's common knowledge. And then we have secrets. Things in our lives that I know about myself, but nobody else knows about me. We have secrets. Okay? So I've never expressed some of the things over here. Okay? My laser's going. And then thirdly, we have blind spots over there. Now, blind spots are things I do, but I'm not aware that I do them unless other people tell me. And then finally, you get areas that are totally unknown except to God. The areas in our lives, praise God, Gary, you're a friend. What a friend I have in Gary. Thank you. Look at that. So this area here are areas that I don't know about and others don't know about me, but God knows that are going on in my life. And a time will come when He'll speak to me about them. And so if we can just go to the next diagram, what we need to do is we need to grow. So a person, if you can just understand this, a person who talks freely about himself, okay, will find that that area there and that area is not so big because he's telling others about himself. He's opening himself up. But he's not listening to other people. So he's opening up things in his own life, but he's not listening to God and he's not listening to other people. So he's not growing in those areas. Sometimes people may try and tell him things, but he's not listening. He has blind spots. And then the second diagram, we can just move to the last. The other folk who are very receptive to what other people are saying, but they'll bottle things up and they won't share secrets in their own lives, and they won't tell you things that are going on in their own lives. And so, if we can just go back to that first diagram I started with. What God wants us to do, it's a simple diagram, but it's quite profound. We need to learn to be open about things in our own lives. That's why it's good to be accountable to a few people. It's good to open your life up. And it's also good, friends, to listen to others because they can see things that you can't see. In my bucky, I've got high seats And Shannon sits next to me in the passage. She can see behind me sometimes better than I can because I've got a bit of a blind spot in my car. And you know, they say cars have blind spots. It's an area you can't see. And that's why we need to listen to others, because they will speak to you about your blind spots, and we need to listen to God. God will begin to speak to you about stuff in your own life. And so we need to work at two things with wisdom in relationships as I close. One, we need to express ourselves openly with wisdom to reduce our secrets. And secondly, we need to listen to others openly to reduce our blind spots so that we grow. That's why small groups are so good. That's why relationships like this are so good. And so as you look at this diagram, ask yourself, am I better at listening or am I better at expressing? Do I have blind spots in my life I need people to speak into? Has God been trying to talk to me about areas? Do I have people close to me? Do I have close friends that can speak into my life? Am I just friendly but don't have close friends? It's a big subject. And so this morning, as I close, let me encourage you in your walk with God to say, Lord, in our friendship, please speak to me, Lord. Please keep moving in my life. Please keep growing me. In our friendship with others, let's develop friendships not just with Christians, but with non-Christians. As you go to work tomorrow, look for opportunities to make friends with others. Just to sometimes pray for them and show concern that we may reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then in the church as well, as we develop closer and closer friendships, make sure you're open as a person. You're open to others, because faithful are the wounds of a friend. People may want to speak to you about things. We need to open ourselves up and we need to listen so that others can speak to us, so that we may grow as well, that we may have wisdom in our relationships. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just want to pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us to grow in our friendship with you and our friendship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we want to pray that you would help us to be open. Lord, not silly about it, but genuinely open with others. And that you would give us close friends we can share with and listen to. In the name of Jesus we pray. We pray you'd make us encouragers, Lord. Those that show appreciation. Those that affirm. Those that are just full of your faith, Lord, for others. In Jesus' name we ask. Help us to do friendships well in this church and in this city, in our marriages and in our families. To the glory of God we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.